The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Mothers and daughters have one of life's most special bonds. Along with the trying times, can be some of the most wonderful times. Welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. Your hosts are Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker. In the next hour, we will share some great tools with our listeners designed to help mothers and daughters grow into the honesty and openness of whom you truly are. Now, here's Elizabeth, Melissa, and Danielle.
Hello, and welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Lutz, and I'm joined by my two other co-hosts, who are my daughters, Danielle and Melissa.
Hello, how is everyone? Happy almost end of the year.
Yeah, it's great to have you here for the last few moments of 2014. I can't believe it's already 2015. It's like, it blows my mind.
I feel like I just got used to writing 2014 in my checks.
That always happens. That's just how it happens.
It takes me 6 months to do it.
I know. I was going to say, all my checks will be from 2014 probably until March.
Yeah. True. So we have an exciting show tonight. So let's introduce our topic, which is the concept of intention. So clarifying your intention can be very empowering. And we thought we'd talk about intention and intention setting just in time for you, our listeners, for New Year's Eve resolutions.
We'll say intentions, not resolutions.
Yeah, exactly. New Year's.
New Year's.
See, it's like I went right there. I was like, New Year's resolution. New Year's intentions.
Yes.
So we're going to kind of explain, you know, what our overall thoughts and feelings are about the power of intention and intention setting.
Yeah, and that can take many different forms. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of like different ways that you can bring forward an intention and an ideal scene for the future.
Positive future fantasies, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes, that sounds great. And we're going to share examples of how we set an intention and how setting that intention can help us manifest it too. And we'll share examples of when we've done that and when we haven't done it and we kind of wish we would have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or things might have turned out a little smoother had we set an intention. I have a fun story to tell about that. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about the overall topic of intention?
I think it's just a major thing. It's like, I think it's more involved in our lives than we really allow ourselves to notice. Like, it's not only about what we want to create. It's about how we want to show up in relationships. It's about how we want to show up at work. It's about who we want to be. So it's like, it just affects, I feel like, everything. It's not just, oh, if I intend for this to happen, it's going to happen. It's more like, if I intend for this to show up more in my life, or if I intend to approach a scenario differently. Like, it's the vehicle of change, I feel like. It helps, it's like the rudder, you know? It's like everybody's always changing, and we're always moving forward, and it's like, I think intention can really serve as a guidance to that.
I completely agree. And I think not only is it kind of, like you said, guiding you in the direction that you actually want to go, but for myself, it defines how I show up. You know, if I have, let's say, a tough time or a not tough time or whatever, kind of, Melissa, what you were saying is it you can have an intention for work, you can have an intention for relationship, but just being present and being like, okay, what do I want to accomplish? What do I want it to look like? You know, and it's, once I set that intention, it's like I'm in a more empowered place and I feel more positive about it, that kind of thing.
Right. And by setting the intention too, you find that you can clarify and get more, you know, clarity on what you actually want to achieve. I mean, it's really, sometimes when I really set my mind to I think I have an idea and where I want to go with it. And when I sit down and start writing my intentions, it may be a little bit different, but it helps me clarify it. Mm-hmm. And once I have the clarity, I know the direction to take. So it's almost like a two-step process. You have the intention and you work on the intention, and then you can move towards the steps to manifest that intention.
Yeah. I mean, what came forward when you said that too is when it's clarifying, for me, it's also helped to realize that oftentimes I would have this predefined outcome. So I would say, you know, this will only work if it looks like this. And in clarifying the intention, I can actually broaden it and be like, okay, for example, like, you know, I really want to move to New York. You know, and just say, I want to live in New York. I want to live in New York. But then clarifying the intention, it's like I'm limiting myself to New York, saying I'll only be happy if I move to New York. Maybe in clarifying it, I can move back and be like, hey, I just want to move someplace new that has a big city, you know, and it's kind of like it's not setting that, it's removing that limitation.
Yeah. It's funny because while you're sharing that, I'm also thinking about the other way because I feel like, yes, it can broaden, but also I feel like it can help to be kind of specific in your intentions. Yes. Or like what it is that you want to create.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, if I'm like, oh, I, you know, my intention really is to move to New York, but like really I want to move to Manhattan, you know, like specifically, but it's like, and I just have this intention, you know, I want to move to New York, and then an opportunity comes and it's like, oh, in Albany or something. And it's like, well, I mean, I guess I got what I was asking for, but because I wasn't like really setting the intention of what I really wanted, you know, like I got what I asked for, but
it totally works both ways. It's really clarifying what's there for you. You know, if it's more broad for you, great. And if it's not, and if it needs to be more specific, then that's great too. But it is really sitting with it and checking in with yourself and finding out what it is you truly want.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then even once you broaden it, you can clarify it. You could say, okay, so I want to move to a big city. Well, what do I need to have in that big city?
Yep.
I love theater. I love, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you can still broaden and clarify at the same time and you know, kind of get down to the focus of what it is you're looking for in that big city, what your needs are.
Intentions are great. I so enjoy like focusing on them too, because oftentimes I'll just let my mind run wild and I'm just having a blast. Like, oh, and I want this and I want that and I want this, and it's fun.
It definitely can be fun.
Yeah.
And I think like that's, I mean, the show is, when we start talking about it, is going to be a little bit more about like our own response, like our own intentions and how to create them. But I think also overall, just the topic of intention is such a incredible, interesting thing. Like there have been so many studies, like
tons.
Prayer circles. Lynn McTaggart wrote about the intention experiment. Wayne Dyer's got The Power of Intention. Like there's just so many scenarios and examples of how the power of intention like is actually scientifically being proven.
I mean, quantum physics is all about proving that intention and that interconnectedness. And it's just amazing that scientists and different forms of sciences that are completely focused on just proving the fact that intention does work.
And intention in just a thought form, too. I remember reading in the intention experiment, there was one experiment that just blew my mind, and it was about this scientist who was going to put a polygraph tester on a plant. And his intention was just to water the plant and see how fast the water would get up to the top leaf, you know, and then it would put the polygraph off because of the moisture, because that's one of the things that it tests for.
Okay.
And so he put the little clamp on the leaf, and the plant had a response, which was like a person would have a pain response. I think it was something like that. He had and so it made him think, well, I wonder if I did something painful to the plant, if it would respond to it. So it went to dip the leaf into a coffee cup, and it didn't really have much of a response. That didn't have a response. And he thought that, oh, you have to do something kind of dramatic like they do for people when they do it to kind of make the needle go. So he said, I'm going to go get a match. And the minute he had that thought that he was going to go get a match, the polygraphic needle went back and forth like unbelievable. And it was just his thought.
Yeah.
And so he went and got the match, and the polygraph kept going off. And then when he went and put the match back, it calmed down. So, I mean, it was just, and that was just the thought of hurting the plants.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that book is amazing. I mean, they also have the love study, and that's just where, you know, you're sending positive thoughts to people, and actually it's been measured to where I could sit here and have a positive thought about Melissa, which I don't do that often.
Yeah. Just kidding. I do it all the time.
I know you do. Thanks. You have to. That's your job.
I do it for you, too.
Oh, no. Thank you. I feel it.
No, it's kind of like my love meter. I'm like, oh my God, who's that? Danielle. Well, that's weird.
Where did that come from? I haven't talked from her in a while.
Aww.
Isn't it more than occasionally? No, but it's an actual study. Like, you know, where they've actually had couples and one person in the couple, and they did it, you know, very scientifically. They have the control group. They have, you know, a medium group, and it was a double blind, and they would just have one partner sit there and focus on positive thoughts towards the other person and just give them, you know, very compassionate thoughts, very loving thoughts, that kind of thing. And it was the other person actually in their nervous system, like there were measurements. They were able to measure that that thought and that intention of sending them positive thoughts from their partner was actually having an effect on them physically.
And were these only positive thoughts? In this?
Yes, but I mean, I don't think they would do a study where it's negative thoughts.
Well, they might have.
They might have. Yeah. I haven't read about it.
I was just curious because of the plant thing. I mean, I imagine it works both ways.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. Our show last week, we talked about, you know, the intention that you have coming in a conversation. And if you're putting on, like, the expectation that someone's going to show up in another way, you're kind of setting the intention that you're having a fight.
Yeah.
And you're going to defend yourself and you're going to. You know what I mean? So totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's a thing to note too, just for me personally, that it's like, it really is intention. Like when I say intention, like, oh, I want to send intention about this. It's like, I can also be aware that I might be setting an intention. If I'm not like focused on setting a positive intention and an outcome that I want, like who knows what my intention might be like setting out there. You know, it's, I think, too, like, when I think of intention, too, because we always talk about taking personal responsibility, and it's like, you know, I don't know how to say it better than this, but it's like, sometimes taking personal responsibility kind of sucks. Like,
yes.
I mean, like, it's something that we have to do, but sometimes, like, it's hard. It's like, okay, if I really were to take, like, responsibility for my role in this, mm-hmm. like, it's not always an easy thing.
No. Sometimes I want to be like, why can't it be my mom's fault?
Yeah, like, you know? why can't I get upset about this?
Right.
Because that's really upsetting to me. Or, you know,
right.
like, why do I have to own my feelings in the matter? Like, yes. can't it just be wrong?
And not just your fault, Mom. Right. Anybody's fault. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to do that work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I hear that.
So like setting intentions is, I think, like a flip side of that personal responsibility of where it's like, yes, like we can take responsibility for what has been created and what we're creating. But it's like we can also take responsibility for what we're going to create mm-hmm. and what we're going to be welcoming into our lives.
I think that's, yeah, it's definitely another side of the same coin. Absolutely. But we're going to take a break, and in the next section, we're going to come back and we're going to share examples of, like, our positive future fantasies, and then the power of intention and ideal scenes and that kind of thing. And then we'll be sharing examples of times when we actually set intentions ourselves and then how they manifested, and alternatively, I can get that out. Alternatively, we'll talk about times when maybe setting an ideal scene would have really been helpful, you know?
Yeah, and we'd really love to hear from you as well. If you would like to share any of your intentions with us, you know, you can click that little, if you're listening to the show right now, there's a little button that says email the hosts just to the right, and you can click that and send us an email, or go to our Facebook page at Heart Centered Listening and, you know, post your intentions there, your New Year's intentions. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, or if you just want to write that Danielle is awesome, either via email or on our Facebook page, that is completely welcome as well.
I'm just going to smile and laugh at that.
I know. No, you know that you're going to go on Facebook right now and write that I'm awesome. We'll be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? Heartcenteredlistening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
Are you living your dream yet? If not, then why not? Everyone has a greatness inside of them to achieve what they deserve in their lives. But how do you find the motivation to get started? Tune in to Your Authentic Life with host Susan Cranston. Susan's advice, along with expert guests, will help you improve your relationships, start or change your career, and achieve the seemingly unattainable goal. Listen live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship. My name is Melissa, and I'm here with my sister Danielle and my mother Elizabeth. And we are talking this week about intention and the power of intention. And, you know, we're going to talk too about setting our New Year's intentions. It's a topic that we're all very excited about. We all really have seen personally just the power, like what can come from setting a clear intention and what can come from setting not setting an intention, I guess, is the other end of that. So I guess what we're going to talk about in this section is kind of, you know, just ways that we can, things that you can experiment with of like how to set an intention and, you know, how to keep true to more of the future fantasy that you actually want instead of being something that maybe you don't want but aren't as clear about.
Yeah. And we should probably explain to the listeners like what future fantasy is and what we mean by that. Because sometimes in your mind, you can go someplace for the future. Like if you have this person you want to ask out on a date. And so your mind can go in the future and say, you're going to go up there and you're going to talk to this person and the person's going to say no and they're going to do this and they're never going to talk to you again. You're going to look embarrassed, you know, and that's what we would call like a negative future fantasy. Or you could have the fantasy of, I'm going to go up and I'm going to ask this person. They're going to say, yes, we're going to go on a date and we're going to have the best time. You know, so that's kind of a positive future fantasy. And I remember having a teacher that said to me, you know, you're foolish to lose in your fantasies. Yeah. And so it's like, why not win? I mean, because at least if you're going to go ask the person, wouldn't you rather go ask them with the future fantasy in your mind of the yes versus the future fantasy of the no? I mean, it's going to affect how you show up in that conversation with them.
Yeah, it's so funny because when I first heard that quote, you know, it's foolish not to win in your own fantasies. It was like something clicked in me and I was like, it is foolish not to, you know, like, I mean, like, oh my God, like, why have I been doing this to myself? And like, not necessarily in like the self-judgment way, but just like,
if I really honestly do not know what's going to happen, why am I putting any energy towards something happening that I don't want to happen? But it's like so much of our like, I don't know if it's like ingrained in just human nature to like think that we can't have what we want, or I don't even, you know?
I think it's fear, to be honest, is fear that something that you want isn't going to happen. You know, because in my mind, like in the past when I've done the negative future fantasies, it's like something will happen, you know, and I'll just be like, oh man, that's going to cause this, 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 and this. And then I'm stressed out, and then I'm thinking that it's going to be the worst thing ever. And it's focusing all that attention on all the negative ripple effect. And, you know, more often than not, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, you know, more often than not, really.
And
yeah.
I would say even more than that. I would say 75 to 80% of the time, it's not happening that way. And the rest of the time, it's not as bad as I work it up to be in my mind.
Yeah. You know, what comes forward, too, is, like, sports. Like, they do this all the time in sports. You know, like, if I'm next up at bat, like, why in God's name would I be imagining myself swinging and missing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I would not be doing that. Like, that would just be... So, like, I almost want to say irresponsible of me, you know, like if I'm a baseball player and I get up to bat, I'm going to be picturing myself hitting a grand slam, you know, or I guess that's dependent on who's on base, but.
Did you say grand slam?
Yes, I did.
That would be grand slam.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking about Denny's.
Moon's over Miami.
I think it's the same thing. Anyways, I think it's still grand.
No, that's a really valid point. Like, I mean, it's great. They do focus and they reteach. But I think the thing is these athletes are taught. And so I think the default really for many people is to do the negative because it's scarier.
Yeah.
You know, it's that fear of what might happen. And so it really is like practicing. If you start seeing yourself, what really helped for me is if you start seeing yourself going down that spiral of like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, take a deep breath and just be present. Mm-hmm. And just be like, okay, none of that's happening right now. Notice what's going on. None of that is true. Notice what's going on in your body. It's like before anything happened, you're already starting to feel stressed out. Your body's already starting to do that fight or flight. Your adrenaline's rising and it hasn't even occurred yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be an extreme situation. But even as we were talking before, let's say, you know, you're going to go see someone that you don't have the best relationship with and it might be a little hostile and you're already in your mind saying, oh, this is going to be awful, we're going to fight, and you can start feeling it. It's palpable.
Yeah.
And you can, in those moments, when you stop yourself and breathe, change the direction. Because
yep.
You can take dominion over your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That rudder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rudder effect.
And you can tell yourself this quote in that moment, too. Figured this is a good time to bring in this quote.
I like how you slipped that in.
Yeah. It's from Charles Glassman. It's one of my favorite quotes. It goes, "Believing in negative thoughts is the single greatest obstruction to success."
Ah.
Ooh.
I believe that.
It is
put
powerful.
That one in your...
So how do you guys go about with your intention settings? What are the tools?
What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things of all time is this thing called an ideal scene. And there are different variations of it. You know, there's
like a vision board.
Creating a vision board, doing, you know, like meditating and picturing what's going to happen the way you want it to happen. You know, like having conversations that you want to have with people in the mirror, like ahead of time. You know, like, you talking to me?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound very positive.
Well, you know, he maybe could have been picturing I don't know.
Yeah, and for me, I do kind of like a vision board, but it's more on paper. I'll write things like, I have one here that was like my radiant health and well-being. And so then I would write things like, I am easily and delightfully practicing yoga, creating a strong, healthy, well-toned body, you know, things like that. And I would just keep putting that on this list is the best way you can say it. And like I take vitamins daily, you know, things like that. Anything that you can think of that has to do with your health and your well-being, you know, I would put on this list. And only the positive things. I would just more focus on the positive things. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I always do is I say this or something better for the highest good of all concerned. And the reason I do that is like, for example, if I wanted to buy a house, I might put everything down that I wanted, but there might be a better house out there that I don't even know about. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if I say this is what I really want, but if there's something better, universe, give that to me too.
Right. Yeah. Like,
I'm not going
to
say
I'm not trying to limit myself, but this is definitely the direction that I want to go in.
Well, I think, you know, one thing that I'll do too is even if I'm, you know, there are these more involved like vision boards and ideal scenes and stuff like that. But even sometimes when I'm short on time, I'll just write out a list, you know, just a quick list. And it's more of like getting it out there, really putting, and even in that action of writing it down, you're putting your focus into what you want. And I think that's a huge piece of it. Vision boards, ideal scenes, you are focusing on what you want and you're putting your attention there.
Yeah, and you can start out very general. Like, I, you know, just to say something like my intention is to increase my income by 15% or more next year. Or my intention is to purchase a house within the next 2 years. I mean, but to make sure you at least start focusing your intention.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that's important is you can always modify it. I do this often is I'll write an ideal scene and then I'll come back and I'll be like, you know what? This doesn't fit for me anymore where I'm at. I would like this or, you know, that clarification. And it doesn't have to be it. It's not like one and done. You can always work with it. It can be a working, living, breathing document.
And go for what you really want too, because you don't want to limit what you have. And I wouldn't, by being concerned about how is that going to happen, I'm not going to be able to do not think. I mean, I recommend that you don't think about how it's going to happen. You just say, this is what I really want, universe. And then you've got the power of the universe that will help bring forward the means to make it happen.
Yeah, or if you're having a thought that maybe, oh, who am I to ask for this? I don't deserve it, or that kind of thing. I would encourage you to work with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I was also going to say, you know, like with the Radiant Health Wellbeing one, I feel like it's like having it as like a living, breathing thing and like something that you put your focus on, I feel like it will also affect like how you actually are showing up. Like if you haven't, another thing is affirmations that I was going to say, and you kind of shared one as well. We've spoken about it before, but if I have an affirmation that's like, I am easily making conscious, healthy decisions for myself as far as my radiant health and well-being, you know? And it's like, if I have that, and I take that with me throughout my day, it's like I'm probably going to be more inclined to order the fruit instead of the French fries, you know, like because I have that as an overall like intention.
So that's a hard one.
French fries are so good.
I know. I'm working on that one.
Another thing, you mentioned lists before, and I was going to share this too. One of my good friends for my birthday last year got me this thing called my book, my listography or something like that. And it's the coolest thing. It's like all these different little lists, like places I'd like to visit, hotels I'd like to stay at, like museums I'd like to go to. And sometimes I just find it so fun to just go through there and like pick a list and like, you know, put down like just like places I want to go, you know, like. And they had one about whose art do you want to go see? And I changed it and I said, whose art do I want to own? And I put a couple people in there. And guess what? I already have one person scratched off that list. It felt great too. It felt great to like put it down and tell the universe, you know, at one point in time, I'm going to own this artist's work. And it felt even better to be able to cross that off or highlight it and be like, boom, boom, that's done.
And at the time that you put that down, did you ever think, well, there's no way I can afford it? I mean, if that crosses your mind, just don't let it. Put it on the list.
Like, I have Dolly and Picasso on there. It's like, I don't know that that will happen, but it's like, I want to tell the universe that I would like one of those. Like, yes, I would love to have a Picasso hanging in my house. That would be quite nice.
Me too.
Well, and what I like too about those lists and ideal scenes and stuff like that is at certain times, like if I'm feeling a little disconnected with the the future fantasy or finding it hard to remain positive, really pulling it out and looking at it can kind of re-energize, you know, what I'm looking for.
Definitely.
But we're going to take a break right here. And before we go, I'd like to invite you again, our listeners, to join in the conversations, whether it's by calling in or sending us an email, info@heartcenteredlistening.com, posting on our Facebook wall, again, about how awesome I am. You can do that. This is Danielle, Elizabeth, and Melissa. We'll be right back with you shortly, and we'll continue our examples of the intention-setting experiences.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself, so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? HeartCenteredListening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
If you're looking for tips for personal success, look no further than DJ and DaBear, keeping you at the top of your game with your hosts, leadership and personal effectiveness consultant Deetta Jones and Richard Dent, formerly of the champion Chicago Bears. Together as a husband and wife team, they've raised a family, owned two successful businesses, led major philanthropic initiatives through their foundation, and lived the ultimate lifestyle. Find out their secrets. Listen every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Empowerment.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship. Once again, I'm your co-host, Melissa, and I'm here with Elizabeth and Danielle, and we are talking about intention. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, the power of positive intention and focusing on a positive light, as well as, you know, different ways that you can create an intention and support your own intention. And one of the things I wanted to add is you briefly mentioned on this, just before we move on to the next kind of portion, is you had said it's important to make your, when you shared your ideal scenes, like your things positive. And I think just as to go to add to that, it's like, it is, it's not that you don't want to phrase things as like, you know, like I'm going to experience less pain. Instead of doing that, because you're still kind of focusing on like the pain and like that's still like saying that that's going to happen, you can flip it around and be like, I am going to experience more like joy and freedom of movement, or, you know, like, does that make sense?
Of just yes,
making
it
sure
makes
that
a lot
it's,
of sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. So your wording is important, and
you don't want to focus on what you don't want more of.
Right. You want to focus on what you do
on what
want
you want,
more
yes,
of, or
yes.
what you do. Not saying I want to focus on not getting this, but
yes.
I want to focus on
getting this. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great point. That's a great point. So should we start sharing some of our examples of intention setting and when it did work? And then later on we can share when we wish we would have used it.
Yeah.
So who wants to go first?
Why don't you go, Mom?
Well, okay. I can share one example that I had. And it was my husband and I were living in an area of Los Angeles for a while, and we had decided that we wanted to go down to the marina and live just to, because my husband has never lived by the ocean and I have, and I just really loved it. And so we thought, okay, we're just going to rent a place for a year or two and see, you know, what comes up and see if we like it. And then, you know, maybe we'll look for something to own down there later on. So we sat down and we created an ideal scene together. And it was so funny. We wanted to have a great view of the ocean. We wanted to have, you know, a real modern place. We wanted to have, you know, we had just detail upon detail. And lo and behold, one of the first places we were shown was this beautiful place on the end of the peninsula, and where we had a 360 view up on top of the roof and beautiful scenery, and it was all modern, and it was just a gorgeous place to live. And it was so funny because I said to my husband, we went back home when we were looking at the ideal scene and we had everything on it except for the red door. I said, I threw in there something that I wanted a red door. And so when we went back to visit, we went out to the front yard and there was a big red door going into the gated room. So, I mean, it was so hilarious. We kind of laughed about it, but it
got
was,
your red door.
Yeah, got your, well, it was,
see, you can be as specific as you'd like.
That's true.
Who knows what's going to come forward? Yeah, it's funny because I also, I don't know, maybe it's just about apartments and living situations, but I, one of the times that this, my apartment that I'm in now, I did an ideal scene for it. And I remember I kind of went a little bit crazy with my ideal scene. And I was like, I want this, I want this, I want it to have this, I want it to be this place. And there are some things that weren't on my list really about like my apartment. Some things that didn't come forward on my ideal scene. And there were some things about my apartment that I didn't even have on my ideal scene. So I feel like also, again, having that this or something better really does allow a possibility, because it's like I might not have been picturing my apartment specifically, but I'm in my apartment now and I'm like, this is my idea. I'm very clear that like I am in my ideal scene.
Mm-hmm. I also did one with my apartment. I mean, I love it. I had looked.
So if you got an apartment that you're searching for, or a house, yeah.
Yeah, start there. It's a pretty. No, I did it too, and I had all of these things. And, you know, I think one thing that's important to remember is make sure it is 50% believable.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
Because it's
good
like,
point. Good
you don't
point.
Want to, or it's not beneficial to be like, hey, I'm going to have, I don't know, a mansion up in the Hollywood Hills, or if it's not 50% believable at this time. And that's also bringing forward what Mom said about for this or something better for the highest good. Because if you are saying that and putting it out in the universe, like this or something better, you could get that mansion in the hills.
Yeah. You
know,
yeah.
You definitely could, but it's really just making sure it's 50% believable.
Yeah. And I feel like that also helps people to stay in the positive, vibe of it, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like if I create something that is so beyond my means of creating at this moment, and it's like then I'm like saying I want this, and it's like something that isn't necessarily available to me right now, it's only going to be discouraging. And it's like then, you know, like who knows what kind of negativity that's going to be creating.
Right.
Well, I do remember one huge thing, and this was quite a while ago, I would say like 8 or 9 years ago, and I didn't do a vision board or I didn't do an intention specifically, but I had put a lot of focus on wanting to make a big change in my life. And at this time I was living in Minnesota And I was working as a bartender slash manager, and I just really, I wanted a change. And I had put so much energy into thinking like, okay, and I just was asking, I kept, you know, praying is a form of intention too. And so just putting it out there. And so I just kept praying for a change, a change, a change. And then luckily I got the opportunity to move out to California. And I moved out here, and thanks to Mom, I mean, it did work out. I know that you knew that I was struggling and that I wasn't 100% happy, but it was really that that opportunity came up. And I moved out to California, and then I got a job right away, and I was just able to change everything. Not just one thing, everything changed. And it was amazing just putting my intention into that, my attention on my intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've done that before, like with my relationship with my husband. My husband and I will do ideal scenes or creating these intention boards. But we did one on travel. And it was really funny because I pulled it out last night when we were thinking about doing this as a topic. And I was like, I pulled it out and I was looking at it. And what we had written was, you know, we live in the state of California. And neither one of us has seen a lot of it. So we were like saying all these things that we wanted to see in California. And I was pulled it out and I was looking at it. And I already have half of them. Already, we did it within the last 2 years. It was so unbelievable, but it was like you did it. We did the vision, and then we put it away, and then we come back, and we're like, "Wow, it's manifesting itself." You know?
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. Yeah, I love that.
Well, let's move on to. I really am excited to share. Did you?
I had something a little more to share. Is that okay?
Maybe.
I wanted to share kind of just about how doing this can really be beneficial. And my example of this was I applied a couple years ago. I applied for a full-time position where I worked, and I was invited to apply for a different full-time position, which was not the one that I originally applied for. And, you know, it was kind of a greater opportunity. It was a higher profile position and more responsibility. And I was, you know, I was amazed that I was invited to apply. And also, I was like, do I really want this? Like, I don't know that I want this. I kind of like the less responsibility on some level, you know, like, and in order to apply, they require a letter of intention. So I took the weekend and, you know, I thought about it and I started writing my letter of intention for applying for the higher profile position. And it was like, I just realized, in writing that letter, I became clear, you know, like, I am ready for this. I do want this, you know? So it's kind of amazing what can come forward in setting intentions.
That's a great example.
Yeah. Are you complete?
I'm complete with that, yes. We can move on to the next area.
I do remember that, okay. And that was great. No, I just, I kind of wanted to share a story about kind of the opposite of having an intention, where I had, you know, I was in a job. And I was managing restaurants, and I would consider this my first career. I was the general manager of 3 restaurants, and I was, you know, 25. I was very young, very accomplished in that field. And, you know, there was something in me that really wanted to leave restaurants. It just wasn't for me anymore. I would say like my soul kind of longed for something more, and it just really wasn't fitting. And I had spent a lot of time focusing on the fact that, you know, I wasn't happy, and I would just kind of say, you know, I want something more. I want something more. I didn't set an intention. And the funny thing is, what happened is actually the universe met me, and it got to a point where I actually got laid off. And even though I had a lot of opportunities to move into other restaurants, I really listened to that because it was what I had asked for. And I don't necessarily know that if the restaurant hadn't gone under, that I would have done that.
Yeah, it's funny because I have the exact same scenario with, I had a roommate situation where I lived with a roommate who was was clear on some level, but not on like a conscious telling everybody that I didn't want to live there. Mm-hmm. And just this whole scenario happened and things just kind of blew up in my face. And it ended with like my roommate throwing a pitcher of water on me in the middle of the night. And it was like a nightmare scenario. But it was like, I got out of there immediately. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I feel like that is the power of intention too, is like, you can create what you want with grace and ease.
Yes.
You can create it on the level that you want to see it show up. And instead of, you know, because I felt like the universe was like, all right, I know that you want this. Mm-hmm. You know that you want this. You're not giving it to yourself. You're not setting an intention to do anything about it and to move forward. So I'm going to get you out of there for
exactly.
you, you know?
Yep. Well, because if you think about it, you're putting enough focus and energy out there on it. But you're not taking the steps. You're not doing your 10% to get towards that.
Yeah, except about focusing on what you don't like about it.
Or negative about it. And if it's something you're going to do, really setting the intention does allow for a smoother process. You really are approaching it from a proactive place instead of a reactive place. At least for me in that situation, it sounds like, Melissa, for you as well.
Yes. I think we all have had experiences when we know that we want a different direction to happen and we think about it all the time and then all of a sudden it happens, but it didn't happen in the way that we maybe wanted it to, but yeah. It was probably because we didn't set an intention. Mm-hmm. We didn't do the steps that you needed to do to like for you, Danielle, be looking for another job, mm-hmm. or you, for you, Melissa, yeah. be looking for another place to live, you know?
Yeah. If I had been actively looking for another place to live, like from the moment that I knew that my current situation wasn't for me, you know, who knows what I could have created?
Yeah.
I could talk about this forever, but we're gonna take a break. It's really amazing. It's so intricate and relates to everything. But we're gonna take a break and then, you know, you can let those conversations sink in. When we come back, we're gonna wrap up our discussion about intentions and all the different ways you can do it. We're gonna share our own intentions for the new year. Woo-hoo! Intentions, not resolutions. and I just wanna say it does not have to be New Year's for you to set an intention.
Right, right. You don't have to wait.
You can do it anytime.
Good.
Then we're gonna move into our favorite segment. One question, three responses. This is Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. Remember, you can respond to anything we bring forward, ask any questions, that kind of thing, by emailing us at info@heartcenteredlistening.com. We look forward to seeing what you bring forward.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas. At Voice America Empowerment.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself, so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-Daughter Relationship Coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? HeartCenteredListening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship.
Welcome back. I'm Elizabeth, along with Danielle and Melissa, and this is Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. We were just wrapping up our discussion about intention setting. And do you, either one of you have anything you'd like to add before we move on?
I want to talk about our new intentions for the year.
Okay.
Yeah, I think overall, just intentions. Yay.
Yay.
A wrap-up is of our first three segments.
Maybe next time you should intend in sounding a little more excited about it. Okay. Intentions. Yay.
That wasn't my intention to not sound enthused. Sorry.
Well, maybe that's one of the intentions you could set for the new year.
Oh,
to sound
sounding
very enthusiastic.
More enthusiastic. Okay.
Now, what are your intentions?
Oh, I get to start?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You were so excited.
I'm really excited about my intention. And I talked a little more about my listography book. And actually, my intention is to mark some more things off of that. Like, I'm really excited. There's one in particular, hotels I wanted to stay at. And, like, I looked at, like they have these really awesome like one suite hotels like where it's like just one hotel. I mean, like I spent hours on the internet just looking at like where might I want to stay under the water, under the sea. And one of the places was the Queen Mary because I have a little fascination with like things that are supposedly haunted and paranormal and stuff. And like I've always wanted to stay on it, you know, to see. And I'm happy to share that I booked a hotel room and I'm actually going to be going there within the next week and I'm going to be staying there.
Oh, so, I'm scared.
There's a small part of me that's a little bit scared too. But that's my intention. You know, I want to start, setting the intentions and I want to start checking some things off.
Well, and there's a lot of action in that, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. You are being proactive. You're like, hey, I'm going to do it.
Heck yeah.
I want to do it. I'm going to do it. Way to start it off.
Thumbs up.
That's cool. I hope you come back.
I know. Do fun.
Alone. With no spirit. Yes.
Well, we'll move on to mine.
Okay.
I don't like that. No. My intention is to continue to awaken to my inner artist. I've started painting recently, and I want to express my creativity through my artwork. So that's what I want my intention for the new year.
That's a great intention.
That is. And I couldn't decide on just one. I'm sure that I'll be doing many, many, many intentions. But two that come forward now are really focusing on an ideal scene for a new place to live. And what I want to do, and I want that to look like, because it works so well for all of us.
I was
going to
say, that's convenient.
Yeah. But
do you want a red door?
What? Yeah, do I want a red door? I don't know. Maybe a colorful door. But then the other one is my other intention is to really focus on my relationship with myself, you know, and just really giving myself the time and attention that I would like from someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, so the next part of our topic is, help and do that little thing. But really, we should get to the one question for your responses.
Let's do it.
I love you.
But my intentions are great.
Okay. Yeah, and I had one more intention I wanted to share. My intention is to reside in my authentic self and to lovingly express my joy and happiness to the world.
I'm going to use that one too.
Yeah.
Okay, so one question, three responses. Here goes. This week's question is from Claire. She's 38 and lives in California. And she says, my husband is always telling me that I'm too hard on our daughter. I don't think I am. How would I know? I only want the best for her.
Oh, man. I will tackle that one first, if you're okay with that. One thing that comes forward with that is sometimes it's really hard, you know, especially being a parent. And I think mom can speak to it more because she has two adult people. But I know, like, wanting what's best for someone and also knowing that maybe ways that they show up probably aren't the best for them. Like, for example, mom would tell me certain things and be like, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea. But I needed to learn for myself. You know, and so oftentimes I would be like, oh, she's being hard on me. She wasn't. She's coming from a place of, I love you. I want what's best for you. But I took it as like what I'm doing is wrong, that kind of thing. So it might not even be clear what you're saying. It could be just the way it's interpreted. So maybe just next time take a breath and just make sure you're coming from a very neutral place before you say it. Instead of maybe, and I'm not sure if you're approaching it that way, but maybe just take a breath.
Yeah, and I kind of, along those lines, well, first of all, you say, how do I know if I'm being too hard on her? The first thing I would say is ask her. Talk to her about it. Mm-hmm. Ask her if you are being too hard on her. And then also, on that note, we were talking about, like, non-defensive communication on last week's show, and I feel like that could be a really huge opportunity for you here. You know, and it's like, you can even just start with the way that you phrase things, you know, instead of saying, did you study for that test? You know, you could say, I know that test is important to you. Is there a way that I can support you in preparing for it? Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can change. There's always an opportunity to change the way that we share the share things with people.
We'll make sure your best intentions are coming forward.
You can say the same thing and have it be more gentle and supportive.
And along that same line, Claire, it's like, it's kind of a generalization to say I'm too hard on my daughter, or, you know, because it has to be, from my perspective, more fact specific. So say, like, she had did poor on a math test, and you know that the night before she watched television all night long and she didn't even study for her test, she didn't even open up the book. I mean, that's one thing to know, but say she did poor on her math test and she did study, and she studied all week and she's studying all the time. So, I mean, there's two different scenarios there. One may be that when you talk to her, she needs additional help, you know what I mean? And she may need additional support. So, and that moment, maybe you don't want to be as hard on her as you would be, you know, I'm just using your words, you know, if she did watch television all night, she knew she had a test and she didn't bother studying. Because as a parent, you are always going to have to walk that fine line of helping them find their own discipline, and also being there, loving and supportive, you know, to support them when they actually need it.
And I'm still working on finding that line.
Me too.
With them, I mean, for myself,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Like.
And I think, Mom, I just want to acknowledge you, because you do a great job at that. But you know what? That we're going to have to cut it there. The show went by so fast.
Oh, it did.
It's crazy. You hardly notice the time.
Yeah, and please join us next week. We're going to have a special topic for you, and we're very excited to join you in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this is your ever-appreciative co-host, Elizabeth Danielle Melissa, and we look forward to talking with you again next week at 5 o'clock sharp. Have a safe and great week, and remember, you can have the relationship you've always wanted.
Thank you for joining us this week on Communicating from the Heart. Please tune in for another edition with mother-daughter hosts Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We can't wait to share more with you next week.